from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
But the biggest thing is, I think offensively we're doing little things which have helped us win games.
Derek Shelton and Joe Block before that. Good afternoon, everyone. We're back together in just a few hours. Paul Skeens will toe the rubber for the first time at PNC Park since the All-Star game, since he took his no-hitter into seven innings against the Milwaukee Brewers. And that's kind of where this stretch started for the Pirates, that series win in Milwaukee to sweep the lowly White Sox. Coming out of the break, the 2 out of 3 against the Phillies, and now off to a good start against the Cardinals with Mitch Keller and Nick Gonzalez last night, and Rowdy Tellez's great defense. So here we go. Pirates, for a little bit last night, were tied in the wild card, a virtual tie with four teams. Half game out, only one behind St. Louis for the second wild card, Chris Mueller, and only 3.5 behind the Braves for the first wild card, which would mean if that happened, they would host a playoff series at PNC Park. So a lot of good vibes, a lot of good juju. A lot of good energy around the Pirates right now, and we are 7 days out from the trade deadline. Let me ask you guys this question. If the Pirates do nothing, will they make the playoffs?
Overwhelmingly likely that they will not.
Why'd you hesitate then if it was overwhelmingly likely?
Because their pitching is so good, you never know. And if O'Neill Cruz continues what he's been doing, you know, they would have this middle-of-the-lineup bat to go with Reynolds. There's the chance that they would have just enough offense to get over the finish line. I'd also have to be, I guess I'd have to be kind of intellectually honest here. They could do nothing, and they've won, what, 8 out of their last 10 having done nothing?
9 of 11.
Yeah, 9 of 11, you're right. Joe Block even said that. So, I don't know, I guess I can't say that they would definitely crater or not make it if they did nothing.
So you've already changed your mind 6 minutes into the show.
Yeah, but I don't want to really, I haven't, no, it's really only 3 minutes into the show. We didn't start until 2:03.
Okay.
I don't want to be the person who says they could still make it because their pitching is so good and because certain bats are
heating up. Why don't you want to be that guy?
Because I think they need to try to maximize their chances to both make it and make noise by adding pieces to their lineup because they are a flawed team. I am a firm believer that if they're big three starters, you almost can call it a big four now because Luis Ortiz is 10th in the National League in WAR for pitchers.
But barring injury, they'll still have the big four. With or without
you
a
can
trade
say,
at the
and
deadline.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Thank you. You can say that you can be the person who goes, if you've got pitching like that, you can win any playoff series, and that is true. But I still want more hitting. I don't want there to be excuses made for why they have this, this, and this already in place, and therefore they can rest on their laurels a little bit because they don't actually need as much as you think. You have the door like ajar now. Kick it open. I'm not even saying you have to do that by getting Luis Robert Jr. or somebody like that. Try to kick it open with a real, actual, honest-to-God name for your lineup. Brent Rooker, somebody like that. Brent Rooker's a hell of a name, actually, given the way the guy is hitting this year. He might be the best actual player out there, but he's older than the rest of those guys, so there's less appeal to him. Get somebody. Make your lineup more than what it is right now, which is really Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz. I think still Rowdy Tellez, because he had a very sharply hit base hit last night. I think he's still seeing it well. And then when it's clutch
and
time.
Reflexes of a feline over at first base.
Really?
What a play Siamese, by the
yes.
giant man last night.
It was a great play. I tip my cap. There has been a vibe shift on that guy like I have rarely
absolutely,
ever seen.
Because we love the fat athlete here in Pittsburgh.
We also,
more
I think,
than anything
secretly
else,
like a redemption story, well, too.
True.
He's an in-season redemption.
But if you're a hefty man, if you're a large fellow, and you put out and you produce, we like you here.
You what?
Yeah, you put out, you produce. We like those
I really
folks.
Don't use that first term in sports context.
Phil Kessel was a bigger guy. That was one of the things we loved about him.
He just,
eating hot dogs and scoring goals.
Just put out, produced.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, my point is, though, you'd have like those two bats right now, and then you'd have Tellez, who still looks like he's playing pretty well, and then in big situations, you have Nick Gonzalez, who I love because if their whole approach under Andy Haynes seemed to be, let's turn the team into all Kevin Youkilis circa mid-2000s. You like that Red Sox fan, Donnie? Like, let's be patient hitters, work counts, and then we're skilled enough that we'll still get base hits and extra base hits deep into counts. Nick Gonzalez is the antithesis of that. He comes up in spots where he could produce a run and maybe get a game-winning hit, and is usually hunting for the first, second, and third pitch, and he's good enough to put bat to ball more often than not.
Donnie, they make the playoffs with no moves?
No, I don't think they do. I mean, they are hot right now. This is great. They have put themselves even more in the thick of things than what they were, even though the National League, the way it was, you knew that a lot of teams were going to hang around. Now there's a few teams that have even admitted they will be sellers, two of them in the NL Central alone, the Reds and the Cubs. But they were hot at the beginning of the season, too, and that quickly faded away. There's nothing to say that can't happen here either. I mean, if Brian Reynolds goes through a dry spell, if O'Neill Cruz goes through a dry spell, if Rowdy Tellez comes back down to earth, that will hurt their offense with key players if they actually go cold, because I don't have too much faith in a lot of the other bats to rise up to the occasion.
Would you guys agree that right now the feeling in the city and among the fans for the team is at a very high level?
Most positive I can remember it being since 2015.
And I think Skeens has been the guy that's ignited that. He's been the catalyst of that, and he's become must-watch and must-see. And so that, paired with the fact that they're winning games now, I think has created a lot of buzz. There's big-time buzz in the Pirates. We have Steelers training camp in a couple days, and yet here we are starting the show and doing most of our show on the Pirates again today, because of the fan interest in them right now. I think that evaporates if they don't do anything in the next 7 days. I think if they do next to nothing or nothing, I think the fans say, well, same old Pirates, why did I get myself interested in this team? I'm not buying it. They don't even believe in themselves. And I actually think that in the clubhouse, it would have a massive negative effect too. The same way, I know it's a different sport, but the same way when Jake Gensel got traded, probably ended up being the difference in the Penguins making and missing the playoffs, because they got boo-boo face for like 2 weeks and were, you know, crying the blues and acting like, you know, Kyle Dubas had done this treasonous thing against them. They went out and laid that egg against Washington, and it took them a while to get their crap together. I actually think the same thing could happen to this team if they do nothing. I think they need a show of faith from the organization. I think the fans need that too. The fans need to know that this team means business. So
Ben Sherrington said it in his show. He said, our obligation is... he said things that made me think that he at least somewhat understands that, but then I can never tell if it's GM speak or not, and in this franchise, just front office speak. He said, it's about, paraphrasing here, it's about this year's team. It's about helping this year's team. He said, we're getting to the point in the year where it's got to be your best five or six guys in the rotation. They are lucky enough to be deep enough that when they're healthy, they probably do have a six-man rotation.
If they pick up someone who is an upgrade on Sawinski in center field, I think the Pirates will make the playoffs. If they don't, I honestly think they'll finish in last place.
Because you think that it would hurt everyone's feelings that much?
I think it would initially, yeah. I think it would. And I think fans would maybe not quote-unquote revolt, but I think it would be a pretty ugly place next Tuesday if we're on the air at 4:00. They haven't made a move. What the fans
well,
are going to say?
I wonder what their GM
about ownership
about
and the front office's commitment to this team.
The owner already said we need to make an upgrade, and then that set off like a major cascade of It seemed like the owner was getting one message out. The GM was pushing back against the owner. And for a brief moment in time, it was the closest thing we get to palace intrigue with this team. They need to do something. You have two objectively good offensive
players.
Because
Crowley said today he thinks they can win the World Series with this team.
Like, as currently constructed?
Yes.
This team can absolutely win the World Series. When you do have Skeens, when you do have Keller, when you've got Luis Ortiz, when you're going to have Jared Jones, when you've got Bailey Falter, the bullpen
Bailey
now
Falter.
Looks way legit. If they do get in, they've got a chance to win the World Series. Of course they do.
Yeah, any team that gets in with their kind of starting pitching should be considered armed and dangerous.
But you're
for the
a guy
World
that
Series.
Says hitting is actually more important than pitching, so I would think
yeah,
you would
not. Yeah,
I
think I've come back around on that watching
really?
Them this year. I think I've generally come back around on that. I think that was one of those wrong Mulsey takes. When I watch, here's why. The Cardinals have some good hitters. They have a guy that hit a laser beam off of Keller yesterday, but they ultimately got one run. I already feel like, and I know I shouldn't say this because even though I don't have your powers of jinxing, I actually feel like they've already won this series against the Cardinals. That's how confident I am because of the pitcher that they're
haven't
sending
jinxed
to the mound.
Games?
Neither of us has. That he might be the most powerful athlete ever.
Said Pirates would go 6-1 into the break.
Yes.
They did.
No, I know. You not being able to jinx the man means he might actually be some sort of god figure walking among us because you are the most powerful mush in all of sports. You really are. But I think that that's how good he is and that's how good their pitching is. Don't you feel that a little bit? I feel like they have won the series already without actually seeing the second game.
Yeah, I think they're going to bludgeon the Cardinals tonight.
I think it's so likely that they're going to win this game tonight that it's automatically a 4-2 stretch.
And then it's a bullpen game for St. Louis tomorrow afternoon. They'll win that and they'll sweep them and they'll be ahead of them in the standings. Yes, I am predicting that to happen. I'm also predicting a perfect game from Paul Skeens tonight. I'll be there. For history. And a guy that pitched a perfect game is going to join us at 2:35. We can ask him if he sees the same things with Skeens.
A perfect game specifically tonight?
Yes. Coincidence that we're having someone who threw a perfect game
better
on the same
Paul
day that Skeens is
Donnie,
pitching? I don't think so.
Better chance Paul Skeens throws just 4 perfect innings tonight, or that the Cardinals break up both a no-hitter and a perfect game in the first inning with a single? Better chance that he goes 4 perfect innings or gives up a base hit to wipe it all out in the first inning?
He does. Whenever he does give up hits and runs,
he's
it happens early.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Deadline debates. In less than 15 minutes, Pirates fans want Brent Rooker. Some of them also want Bethel Parks, Mason Miller, Dallas Braden, does A's games, pitched a no-hitter, just like Paul Skeens will do tonight. and he will join us to talk about what the Pirates would need to surrender.
He pitched a perfect game, Pony.
Yes.
You said Paul Skeens would pitch a perfect game. Very big difference. We've seen Paul Skeens exit 2 no-hitters this year. Perfect
game. Yeah, I'm saying he's pitching
animal.
A perfect game tonight. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Would they pull him out of a perfect game after 8 innings at 103 pitches?
Probably. I guess I should have thought about that before I opened my mouth on it. In San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk has reported to training camp. That news coming out in the last few minutes. John Lynch, we've learned in the last day that John Lynch and Ayuk share an agent. Isn't that nice?
How do we not know that earlier is my question.
Schefter spilled those beans on McAfee yesterday.
My question, you're smart. I'm reasonably intelligent.
That.
Donnie's a smart guy. There's a lot of smart people.
That's a conflict
people.
Of interest. I don't think GMs, coaches, and players should all be allowed to share the same agent.
Actually, if I'm Ayuk, I'm really pissed that my agent reps the GM. I would be furious.
I would actually think the opposite. I would think having...
Well, the bigger contract is for the player, but...
I would think having my agent rep the GM would help me get a deal done with the GM.
Not if you know that the GM is really like dead set against signing you. Then maybe your agent's telling you... What if your agent wants to make the GM happy because he might have more clients coming through... To work with the GM, it isn't just about your big contract versus what he negotiates for the GM. Maybe that agent wants to have a bunch of his players have a good working relationship with
John Lynch.
I would
just think that would make life miserable for the agent because one of his client, the player client, is furious with his GM client. And he would be the guy stuck in the
middle of that. How is the agent handling all that, you think? Very carefully?
Maybe that's why Ayuk showed up. Lynch today, we fully intend on Ayuk being a Niner. Called him an important part of this team, but then I see Mike Silver tweeted when asked about Ayuk being traded, Lynch said no absolutes there. So you're saying there's a chance, Harry Dunn and Lloyd Christmas on this one.
Very strange. The whole thing is very strange.
See, I think by showing up, though, he loses a big piece
of
his leverage.
He's telling you that he knows he's probably just got to go out there, play 1 year, and then
be done with it.
Come what may.
Well, he could always get franchise tag next year.
Which is what, going to be like a, off the top of my head, 20 some
odd
million dollars.
It would still be less than what he wants.
Close to 25. Yeah, it's not going to be what he wants. I love it when people say, yeah, they could tag him, but that's not what they want. No one wants to use the franchise tag as a weapon. Yes, sure they don't. Ah, yes, the franchise tag, famously used only for altruistic purposes.
Who's the last Steeler to get franchise tag, Bell? And who was the last Steeler to get tagged before that?
Didn't they put a transition tag on him?
I thought Bud got tagged.
I thought Bud got tagged.
Oh, yeah, that's
Bud
right.
Tagged.
It was a franchise tag, not a transition tag?
Somebody
Does
high
the transition
profile,
tag still exist?
Somebody high profile on the Steelers, I could have sworn in the last decade, got transition tagged. Like one of the high profile
Jason
players.
Jason Worlds was a transition tag.
Well, he transitioned into just being a full-time Jehovah's Witness after that. That's still a wild one.
Hasn't been heard from.
I think that's kind of the point.
Here is, yeah, I think you're right about that, Malzy. Here's Tyler in Beaver Falls. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thanks for accepting my call.
Sure.
So I'm 50-50 on the Buccos making it if we do not get a trade. The only reason I say that is because earlier in the show today, I heard Shelty answer with that Sherrington wasn't too confident, but at the same time, Shelty really didn't exactly say why he wasn't that confident on going out and getting a guy in this final week, the free agency chance. So I don't know. It seems like the Buccos are here to win, and obviously I'm rooting for them, but it's not looking super confident when we're not going out and getting that bat that we've always
needed. Well, no one's gotten one yet. That's part of the issue, is that teams are holding out until close to the deadline. I think that is what Shelton was alluding to. It doesn't really answer the question, though, which is if they don't do anything, will they, not could they, will they still make the playoffs? 412-928-9370. Let's see if Tom in Oakmont has a take on that. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Pony. First things first, Molzy has a ponderous IQ. I think he's smarter than you, but I think you're a smart guy. Huh?
It's false. He's, like, demonstrably more intelligent.
No, he's just being self-effacing.
No. I dealt in education, and you got a really high ponderous IQ. But anyhow, that being said, Nutting's a bottom feeder. That's just the way it is. And his main goal is low payroll. And we'll get a retread at best, and luck is the only thing we got to rely on as Pirate fans.
Not Skeens, Keller, Jones, and Ortiz?
Oh, it's great, but they could do it, but that pitching is spectacular.
Your point is that if they win, it'll almost be in spite of the front office and ownership.
Oh yes, absolutely. It's they lucked into a good. Well, they pulled some strings to get there, but they're in a great situation, and they
I would
could,
not
sure
say
they
that their pitching is luck. I would give them credit for drafting Skeens over Cruz and Lankford and the high school kid.
They
developed Jones, and they fixed Mitch Keller, and it looks like they fixed Luis Ortiz too. They also got Bailey Falter for Rodolfo Castro, a guy that had a cell phone fly out of his pocket in a game.
Whatever happened to Rodolfo
Castro? He's in the minor leagues.
What if he brought back beepers? Had just a beeper fallout. Their pitching's been terrific, and I actually agree with something you tweeted. You do have to ultimately give them benefit of the doubt on some of these decisions they're making that are like controversial at the time, because the broad picture of their pitching has just been spectacular.
Oakland trying to take the first two games from the Pirates here at the Coliseum. The pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out. Urseg struck out the side of the eighth. Miller strikes out the side in the ninth. Earns a save against the team he grew up rooting for. And the Pirates downed by the A's again. 5-2 the final here tonight.
I love Mason Miller. I'm not going to lie. When a kid comes on with you and says, I grew up listening to you, and then sets an MLB All-Star Game record for the fastest pitch and wins the game, I'm always going to have a soft spot for him. That being said, I think it would take unloading your entire farm system to get him, and I am adamantly against that. You?
I just think it's a miracle that Mason Miller grew up listening to you and actually amounted to something.
Well, that's a kind thing to say, Malzy.
Take a joke. Don't they? I mean, I think the reason...
And you too. I mean, you're getting lumped in. He didn't just me.
I was going to say, by extension, I was ripping myself there. But I think the reason it would take a king's ransom is twofold. One, the arm is just electrifying no matter where it is. But I think that there's a chance that the Athletics would want to put him back in the starting rotation, or at least try it out.
You're hearing a lot about that right now. Let's go to the hotline. This is Deadline Debates, 7 days away from the trade deadline, and it is sponsored by no one right now, so hurry up. You got a week to get your pops in with this. A man that threw a perfect game, and he is one of the great color analysts in all of baseball because he is so colorful, and that is former A starting pitcher Dallas Braden with us here on 93.7 The Fan. Dallas, we'll start with the Pittsburgh kid. You think Mason Miller gets traded in the next week?
Get your dirty little mittens off my Miller. You understand? I hear you guys mulling it around. I hear you kicking it around. Enough of that. Enough of that. I think what you said early on, right before you brought me in, was very accurate. It's very tough to think that a kid like that, growing up in the area, listening to you boys, growing up, and now he takes the mound, hometown. He's talked about how cool it would be. So on a serious note, I get it. I can understand why you would be excited. On an even more serious note, get your damn hands off my guy. And I can understand and appreciate the idea of Mason Miller in a starting rotation and what that might represent. I don't think that's the reason that Oakland might initially balk at some of the offers that could come down the pipeline. I think what you have to consider is zooming out and taking a 40,000-foot view of the entire situation. And unfortunately, you can go really either way with it, because if you're moving into a new ballpark here in the next few years, you feel like, and I've always said this, if you got a nice new house, that's great. You want to be able to put nice furniture in it, right? And that's what those players represent, are that furniture. Mason Miller would be a very, very lovely mantelpiece, if you will, maybe even the centerpiece. So in that regard, you wonder about keeping him around simply because of that and what the future could hold. You also think about what the future could hold and what Mason Miller could potentially bring you in terms of the load of prospects and the talent that he would fetch. So it's a tough decision to make, because I think you also factor in health in that equation. And so you really have to do your due diligence when you're thinking about where your organization's headed in the future, what you're going to need to sustain a certain level of anticipated success moving into your new ballpark in the future. What does that look like? And it's, I think, obvious that Mason Miller probably represents your best resource to do either one of those things, whether it's stand pat and give yourself a nice push into the new park, or it's make a move and replenish the coffers, and Mason Miller can do that for you too.
All right, let's talk about somebody then that won't cost us a prospect haul to beat the band and might be more useful to this particular Pirates team given their weaknesses. Can we interest you in a trade for a lightly used and very productive Brent Rooker, perhaps, Dallas?
Oh my. Now, that's a name that I think, you know, understanding where he's at in his career and what he has done, who he has turned into, the productivity machine that he has turned into, frankly. Yeah, I think that probably makes sense. And, you know, you hear some whispers about whether or not a guy is going to factor in towards the future as well. I don't know that Brent Rooker's name is on the top of that list. I mean, you know, all things being said, if it could work out that way, sure, and the productivity continues, outstanding. But I think right now Brent Rooker's as good as he's ever been, maybe as good as he ever will be here this year, the next couple of years moving forward. So I think that's a wise decision. I think that is a great piece to hone in on, especially if you're Pittsburgh, because you have somebody who you're getting the bulk of the ABs to, and Andrew McCutchen, and I think these are just two different players in terms of productivity. Cutch, whether you keep him around or not, if that's the move you make, could very well serve as that extra defender, late inning defensive replacements, and spell each other here and there. But Brent Rooker would probably get the lion's share of those ABs, and I think he plugs very nicely right into the middle of this lineup.
Well, no, we would use him to replace Jack Sawinski, who's a one-man source of renewable energy. He's like a human windmill right now. He makes Dave Kingman and Rob Deer look like Tony Gwynn.
Dallas, can he play right field competently? Rooker, can we stick him out there? Or does he have the DH, in your opinion?
Well, I tell you, Brent Rooker is athletic, and he's not going to wow you and overwhelm you defensively. He's going to make the average normal rangey play.
That's fine.
And I think that right there, in my opinion, is more than serviceable, especially if you've got some other guys that you'd be able to plug in and get the productivity you're looking for. If Brent Rooker is out there, you know, once, twice a week, sure, if you feel like he's somebody who can slide in and just based on what he's going to give you defensively, you'll take him 5-6 days a week. I think he can do that too.
How much is Oakland looking for in return for him? He's an unusual player. Almost
late
all the
bloomer.
Late bloomer. All the production is this year and last year, and he's almost 30 years old. Like, that's just a strange bit of calculus to do on how much they would want in return for him, Dallas.
Well, it is, and I think if you're Oakland, what you have to understand at that point in time is everything that Jubel has just laid out, and it's not a mystery to anybody who's kicking the tires on the Brent Rooker wagon. I think you probably understand there's a limit in terms of prospect value that you're willing to entertain parting ways with if you're one of the courting organizations. And so, I mean, look, we're not talking anybody big league ready. I think we're probably talking, you know, I think you'd like to dip into the top 25 prospects. That'd be nice. I just don't know.
In all of baseball, you're saying not like Pirates top 25, or do you mean Pirates list of top 25 prospects?
Exactly. I mean, for the Pittsburgh Pirates specifically, not a top 25 in all of baseball.
Ooh, well, I would be very interested in that. Where are the A system short? Like, what do they need? Pitchers, outfielders, middle infielders? Dallas, what do you think?
They could take it all. They could take it all. We would take it all. Absolutely. I think we're pretty confident in some of the athletes you have going around the infield, and we've got a lot of guys, frankly, right now who are part of the wave coming. Well, they're here right now. You know, we're watching Max Schumann turn into the player that he is. You know, a lot of the utilitarian has come up and really anchored himself at shortstop. Lawrence Butler is out of his mind right now offensively. He's taken incredible strides. Zach Gelof over at second base. Brett Harris over at third base is getting more run. So what J.J. Bleday has done in center field, I mean, there's pieces around here. There's guys that are here now. So it's not to say that you can't supplement all of those positions. And in my honest opinion, you need to be able to get outs. How does that happen? That happens on the mound. Well, so I think that's where the focus should be.
I also think it's serendipitous that we had you on today as a guy that pitched a perfect game, because I think Paul Skeens will pitch one tonight, Dallas. What do you think of that?
Wow. I love every bit of that energy. And I've always said, if you're not taking the ball every fifth day with that game plan in mind, then what are you after, right? I can't imagine taking the ball one to go 5 1/3, give up two, and get out of there. So with Paul Skeens, not only the power and the stuff, but the attitude, the moxie, the presence, it feels like every fifth day is a day that he could be perfect.
What do you make of them taking him out of that Milwaukee game with a no-hitter? Second time this year it happened where he went 6-plus and had no hits allowed, but he didn't get a chance to go out for the next inning.
Oh man, it's so tough because everything that we've watched Paul Skeens go through, I think, has been in an effort to try to protect him, try to guard him, and at times also kind of just let him do what he's doing. And you're trying to find the balance between those two. And I think, you know, if you show that you're trying to find the balance between him continuing to grow as a pitcher, but then also making sure that you're not running this guy into any trouble, you know, in the first 10 starts of his career, where over the second half of this season, whatever that looks like for him, he's going to have to, you know, be reeled in. So I know it's tough because in our day and age, we're thinking, man, how nice would it be to have that horse that really everybody in baseball could rely on every fifth day to give you that 7, 8, 9 inning sort of dominant performance, you know? And I think as an industry, we miss those guys, and we can go into 1,000 different directions on why arms are handled the way they are and why we don't see guys given the opportunity to finish ball games the way we did in yesteryear. And I think a lot of financial variables are attached to that. But I think for better or worse, when you have a guy like Paul Skeens taking the mound for you and he has the no-hit, near-perfect type of capability every time, you want to see what that looks like. We want to see what he looks like in the 8th and 9th inning, 100, 110 pitches into it, because he's probably geared up to handle that more so than a whisper in the wind like myself, all of 175 pounds or whatever I was. So I want to see it.
Dallas, thank you so much for all the intel on Mason Miller and Brent Rooker. We appreciate you joining Deadline Debates. Have a good one.
Take it easy, boys, anytime.
There you go, Dallas Braden.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.